Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here in Ireland with my Pennsylvania accent and listening to your European or Irish or whatever accent. It's great to be here and worship God no matter where we find ourselves on this globe, right? The many songs that we sang this morning, I was blessed that we can praise a God no matter where we're at, and we can bow before him and learn to know him, have a personal relationship with him this morning. So greetings in that name. So like he had mentioned, my name is Jonathan Lehman, and Lori is my daughter. So don't hold that against her too much here. But I have my wife with me, Lisa, and we have four of our boys here, Scott, Bryson, Thomas, and Monty. And two of the other ones are coming here tomorrow to meet us, and we're going to go a little traveling here. But which would be Dustin and Kristen. I think they both were here before, sometime or another. But so it's good to be here and worship God and see where Lori serves. And, you know, we're from Pennsylvania. I don't think I mentioned that, but we are from Pennsylvania in the States. So if any of you have been there, well, you're welcome to stop in our little church in Dauphin County. We have maybe 60 people at our church, so it's just a small little outreach church, and we enjoy it there. But it is great to worship with other people like Precious Faith, right? That's a wonderful thing. And I look over the audience here, and I don't think that there's... I know that, well, the brother shared this morning, Brother Edna, shared that, you know, the struggles that he has, and I think we all face low times, right? We're in a battle that we live in here, and I don't want to keep talking about that, but you know, we are in a battle. But that verse, the verses that he read there in Psalm 18, I think it's the second verse it starts out of that chapter, verse 2, says, "The Lord is my rock." That's a rock that we need. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about that rock, as we were thinking about that. In the United States, I think some of you probably are aware of this over here, because I don't think you're excluded from that, but a couple months ago, we had an election, right? And we had a president that was elected, and in our little area of the world, people were very wound up about that. It was very important to them. And the man that was elected was their hero. And it's very, very obvious a lot of different places. And the things, the world is just going to have, has the answers now, right? Does it? No, that didn't make any difference. God, he's just a man. But many people today, and maybe reminded me of many people that find security in man, and earth's things, and earth's governments, and all that goes into that, finances and technology. So the question this morning is, who or what is your life, brings security to your life? What does it take to rock your ship? What keeps you going? Who or what is the cornerstone of your life? I was thinking about stones here this morning. Does that change over time, the cornerstone of your life? And you know, when you were this age, you were this, and you went after this, and now there's this. Does that change, or is it the same cornerstone throughout your life? Is my cornerstone the right cornerstone, the correct cornerstone, the true cornerstone? What on earth am I building on today? What foundation or cornerstone? What is it that is crucial to your existence, your foundational to your life? And we know we treasure church, we treasure family, we treasure relationships and all that. But you know what? And that's all part of life. Very important to that. But that cannot be the cornerstone of our life, right? That maybe can build into that. But Jesus alone needs to be our cornerstone in our life. It could be good deeds. It could be a good job. Could be friends. Could be heritage, could be, you know, a lot of different things that it can be. Can be our cornerstone, but Jesus alone is our cornerstone. What is it? What is your cornerstone this morning? my wife and I, and some of our family, we help with a choir, a local youth choir in our area, and so I enjoy to sing, and so we sing there, and obviously. But there's a song that they sang this past time here, and I'm going to read it. That brought me to this message here this morning, and it was a challenge to me, and I think it got me to thinking about this. Who is my cornerstone? What makes me tick? What do I go after? Do I seek after? Do I find fulfillment in Christ? The message title this morning is Christ Alone, Cornerstone. You probably heard that song already this morning. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone. Weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone. Weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. The last verse says, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. That's the song that I was challenged by, and I'd like to just think the title this morning again is Christ alone, cornerstone. Is he yours? That's the question, I guess, this morning. You know, we could lose our job, we can lose a loved one, we can lose our health, we can lose our home, vehicles. You know, I had a customer just recently here, I work in retail, and just had a customer recently, not too long ago, they lost their pet, and this was devastating to them. That pet was their cornerstone, and it messed them up. And I realize in life we are attached to things, and we want family, we're gonna hurt when they lose, but when they leave. But you know, Christ alone needs to be what we go back to, as that cornerstone, that rock that is there. When Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" He said, "Who do you love?" Different times he asked Peter, "Who do you love?" Three times I think it was. When Jesus asked him that, he was reaching into Peter's very own heart and the foundational things of Peter's life and said, "Peter, who is your rock? Who is your cornerstone? What is it? What is it that there? What is it that's holding you up, Peter? What are you standing on? Lovest thou me more than these?" That which we love has a way of becoming very foundational in our lives, that which holds our affection. So what is a cornerstone? Well, you know, over here in Ireland, and back in Jesus' time probably, you know, you see a lot of old buildings. You know, we back in America, we have some that maybe are 200 years old, 250, and we say, wow, those are old buildings. You come over here, and this is ancient buildings over here. But, you know, a lot of them are stone, right? They're built, they started with a cornerstone, and they are built. They're built strong. And so in the Bible time, it was very, very real to them. They understood what a cornerstone was. They knew what that was. And I didn't lug a stone in here this morning to show you what that would be. But it's different probably than what masons would call today. But they probably started with a pile of stones. I don't know how they went out and did that. They went out and they found a stone. And they found one that looked fairly square probably. And they worked at that and they chipped at that till finally they had, or else they found a stone that was perfectly square. And I don't know how they figured that all out, but back then they had ways of measuring and they knew when something was square and they used that. And they placed that in the corner and they built their building off of that. And for those of you, I don't know if there's any masons here this morning, but that work with that. But today we have a building project happening right at our place right now. And I didn't see them setting any cornerstone. But they walked around with these GPSs, and you know they figure out exactly where all this stuff is, and then they start off of that. A little different. But not too long ago, they used tape measures. They used squares and try to figure out where the square. And they put I remember putting the stakes in the corners, and they would figure out exactly where that is, where that all is. They establish a corner, and they build from that. And they build up from that, and they string lines. Actually, today, I think they still did some lines to figure out. They started with this block on this side, and then they went, figured out the other corner, and figured out where that was at. And I went into Enda's shop, and I didn't ask him if I could do this, but I went in here, and I found a nice, big, long string there this morning. And, you know, we fastened this from one end to the other, and you figure out if this is straight. Well, it looks like this pulpit's pretty straight. But you figure that out. That's what was needed back then. They based it off of a corner, run it from along the side of that, whatever it may be there that was there. Maybe it was a rock that was there, and they based it across the corner here and straight from that point to however far they wanted to go, right? And all it needed to be off was just a little bit. Just a little bit that this is off, the end is way off, right? So one of the things this morning is if we think about that, as Christ being the cornerstone, he is the perfect cornerstone. You and I need to have him part of our life in every aspect of our life. He is perfect. He is square. Doesn't matter which way you go, he is square. No matter if you're in Ireland or if you're in the United States, you're in Africa. He is still square. He still applies to us today. That's the blessing of a cornerstone. But you know, what we talk about that? You know, we use a string. And we talk about Amos talks about the string of being a plumb line. And I saw that this pulpit wasn't square, wasn't straight, but we can see it here this morning, right? And then Amos talks about a plumb line, using God's word as a plumb line. As you hold that there, you can see very quickly what's not straight. And God was going to use his word. He used his word. He uses his word today. We are going to be judged by the plumb line of God's word, right? And we see that. As that holds, eventually falls straight. Now, if I would turn that here, we could see that the front here is basically straight. It's built on an angle here on purpose. But so they understood these plumb lines. They understood cornerstones. They understood where this was all going this morning. They plumbed it from the bottom. They started at the bottom, and that's cornerstone. Off of the cornerstone, was that straight? And they went from there on up, and they could build a building very high off of that cornerstone. If that wasn't built correctly, that building eventually fell apart, right? It deteriorated, and it went out of square, and as they kept building it and building it, and eventually you have a building that's crooked, what happens? Eventually it falls apart. But when everything is aligned and everything is true, it becomes a very beautiful structure. Very beautiful, usable structure. One that is square, one that is stable, a reference point for additional structures as well. As they went and they started a city, we were in Waterford yesterday, and you know, all the different old structures that were there, that became, I believe each of them had a foundation, a cornerstone, but you know, that became a foundational point where they could build off of that as well. Old buildings. So we'll keep this mind for as we think of our relationship with Jesus this morning. Is Christ alone our cornerstone? As you think about that. And the mason string of his word as it applies to our life. Where do I line up? Where am I at? We see God's word. God's word is always stands true. Always is there. Turn to Isaiah 28. I went pretty far without going into scripture, and we want to look at scripture this morning here. Isaiah 28 I think it's one of the first passages in scripture where it talks about Jesus as coming as the cornerstone, as being the answer to his word, to the answer to life. The stone that should be built upon. And we have here what I'm going to call the appraisal of our cornerstone. And I'm going to read here 16 and 17. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. We have this plumb line or this plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And we could keep on reading there. I know I jumped right in the middle of that passage there. But we're talking about Jesus, you know, God's people. I thought about reading back further, but Jerusalem was being warned. Their leaders were teaching lies. There was a lot of untruth, a lot of falsehoods that was happening there. And God's saying, I'm going to hold you accountable to this. I'm going to put, this is where my word stands, and this is where I want you to be. And I'm going to send Jesus someday. I'm just putting in my terms here. I'm going to send Jesus someday, and he's going to help you. He's going to be an answer of where to build your life upon. He is the answer. And, you know, thank God that you and I, we get to see that today. We get to experience that today. But we think about an appraisal. I would call this an appraisal of our cornerstone, of this cornerstone. An appraisal was something where you took a look at the value of, and you think of the worth of something and the dynamics and what makes it up. The value is determined by what consists of, okay? And here we have an appraisal of our cornerstone in verse 16. And he said, it goes down through that all, and he says, all the way at the very end, he says, shall not he that believeth on this cornerstone shall not make haste. And I don't know what you take out of that, but as I was studying there a little bit, means to be patient and wait on the fulfillment of, or satisfied with, or not impatient to lay or find another cornerstone, but you're just satisfied that that is the cornerstone. They will not be hasty to go around and look for something else. This is the cornerstone. This is the correct one. This is where we put our trust in. It means that those who believe in Jesus will not be ashamed or confounded. Not quick to look, they will not be confused, but they will understand that this is my answer to life. Let's think about the cornerstone. Christ alone, our cornerstone, says it's a tried. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. I don't know what you think of when you think of a tried stone. Jesus has been tried. The Bible says that he was tempted in all points of humanity, just like you and I are, right? He was proved. He was a man that was approved of God. Acts 2, verse 22, Peter, when he, after Pentecost there, he stood up and he said, Peter stood up, he said, hear ye these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among us by miracles and wonders and all the things that Jesus did. So he was there, they saw what he did. And we have the gospel today, right? We have the answers today. We understood what Jesus had done, how he healed the sick, he bound up the wounds, he the blind saw, and we could go on through the list of everything that Jesus did. But also he walked a life that was right. God upon this earth. Heaven came down to this earth, and he watched as Jesus lived that life and forgiveness and speaking words of truth and love and all that came forth from his life. They saw that tried and true stone, right? That stone that was lived out in everyday life. And, you know, we can try surrounding our lives with a lot of different things, a lot of with personal accomplishments, things that we have tried, right? We've all tried things, right? It could be, you know, fun, friends, many, many, many things that we like to surround ourselves with. But you know what? Many times, almost always, there's no satisfaction there, right? Eventually it fades away. Jesus is the answer. He is the one that is there, stays there. We find satisfaction in that. And you know, we could plant our feet firmly in the world's things, the world's way of ease and something. We world's always into trying to develop something a little faster, something that's going to work better. And you know, vehicles came along and phone technology and gadgets and all that stuff. But you know what? They fail very quickly. They fail. They're not tried, right? They fail. We have to keep getting new things. Jesus never fails, and we need to reach out to Jesus and to understand that he is a tried cornerstone. He has proved himself as true all the way through, tried and true. Can you build your life on him? Stake all that you have on him. Our hopes in him, and if we do that, we will not be dismayed, nor confounded or disappointed. The second one we see is a precious stone. It says it's a precious cornerstone. Is that your Jesus? Is that my Jesus? Is he your precious cornerstone? Precious. Today, if you are a believer, you understand, you and I, we understand to being redeemed. And giving our lives we found salvation, and we understand that our sins have been rolled away. And we understand, we call it the precious blood of Jesus. And we are thankful for that. Not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus that we are saved by. Precious. For some, in this world, things like silver and gold and collectibles, and maybe it's their knowledge, maybe it's their sports team, maybe it's their, you know, there's, the world is full of things that they call precious, right? That are very dear to them, and they, their world is wrapped up in those things, right? Acceptance and success, and when they lose it, what happens? Their life sort of falls apart, right? They become, it becomes messed up. What does Jesus mean to you? Is Jesus all that you need? Is he precious to you? Alone can he save you? He's the only one that can save you? Is that who our relationship is built upon, who we strive for every morning or evening or whatever when we read his word and we pray to him and we seek his face? I just challenge us that he becomes a precious cornerstone to us, one that we go to every time. Our life is built upon that. When someone's precious to you, we hold them in affection. Maybe it's my wife is precious to me, or maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or maybe it's our child, a little child that was just born, or whatever it may be. We call them precious, right? We hold them dear. You know, earthly relationships are wonderful and they're right, but Jesus should be the most precious today in our lives. Number one, he deserves to be the focus of our highest affection. This stone needs to be precious. So we have, says, a sure foundation. So that precious stone, that cornerstone that is built there, develops a foundation that is sure. Jesus said, told Peter, he says, upon this rock, in the context of the testimony of Peter about Jesus Christ, upon this rock I will build my church. And it says what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's no storm. There's no economy upheaval. There's no government that's going to, it can't prevail against it. It is a sure foundation. In a world that is unstable, we can have a sure foundation. And we need that. You and I need that today. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, for no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ, right? The answer. What do you consider sure in your life? Are we guaranteed of tomorrow? We guarantee that we're going to get home tonight? Am I guaranteed that I'm going to get back to the United States? No. We have no guarantee of many things in life. But one thing we can stand upon is if Jesus is our precious cornerstone and our life is based upon him, we can be sure that he is the answer no matter what happens. And if our life ends, we find ourselves with Jesus. He is the answer. You know, life is a vapor. It passes very quickly. Christ comes with full assurance for us. We can build upon this foundation and be sure we will not be misled. We can be sure because we are on the foundation. Jesus Christ is the only place that we can find surety in a world of unsure things. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsels of the Lord, that shall stand. You know, many man thinks up all kinds of things, insurances and all kinds of wild things, and many of them sometimes seem pretty good, right? We begin to reach out to them sometimes in this world. Remember, Christ alone is the cornerstone. He is the one that's sure. He's the one that's going to last. He's the one that's there. The counsel of the Lord, they will truly stand. That, folks, is what will stand sure today. Is Christ alone your cornerstone? He ends with, in this verse, he says, he that believeth shall not make haste. And we talked about that a little bit. Will not look for another cornerstone. He that believeth on this cornerstone won't look for another cornerstone, won't be attracted to another cornerstone if our life is based upon that cornerstone. He will not be embarrassed of why he lives life differently, why he chooses to do this or to do that, because his life is based upon, his or her life is based upon that cornerstone that is in their life. It aligns with his or his, it is to, their life aligns with there, because Jesus is their cornerstone. Turn to Psalm 118. I'd like to just read some more passages here. Psalm 118 talks about the, this a little more here, this stone. 118, Psalm 118, verse 22 and 23. And I think this is one of the Psalm of David. I didn't look here for sure. But thanksgiving for the Lord's salvation. It's talking about the Lord's salvation. It comes here and breaking in verse 22 and 23. The stone, talking about this cornerstone, right? The stone which the builder refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now, I realize that this is a prophecy pointing forward probably to, pointing forward to Jesus and how it will be refused, but it says it's marvelous. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes of how Jesus, not the rejection, but the fact that it doesn't change, that it's there. He could promise it back here, and it was going to happen. And it's still happening 2,000 years after that yet. We are still enjoying it today. We still understand that. But the rejection of the cornerstone doesn't change the cornerstone's position, right? It doesn't change who Jesus really is or who he is going to be or who he will be, right? He's still there. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. There are builders today in this world who are building their life and rejecting the cornerstone. Obviously, we don't have to look very far. We see that. People who don't have a cornerstone. There are people out there that are building, but they're rejecting the way of God. So this is pointing forward to this. Now to Acts. Turn to Acts 4. I just want to turn to Acts 4 here and talk about where this was actually talked about. Very soon after the church was founded, Peter was preaching here, and he brought in this verse from way back here in Psalm. Acts 4, we're going to start Acts 4 verses, I don't know where to start and stop here, but they were in the temple. Peter and John were in the temple and preaching, teaching, and they came out, the rulers came out, they laid hands on him, verse 3, and put them in the hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. And it came to pass, verse 5, it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked him, "By what power, by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." This, he says, he's talking directly to the Jewish leaders, to the people. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I'll just stop reading there. Peter was talking, telling them, this is the cornerstone. This is the chief cornerstone that you killed. You put away. You rejected. You want nothing to do with. This is the answer. This is the one that you rejected. You set it naught, it says. Throw aside, I'm going to say. You put it to the side. You set it naught. Become the head of the corner. And he goes on, he says, there is no foundation, there is no salvation in anything, anyone else, but this Jesus. That's the answer. That's the only way we can find salvation. And they heard it. Many of them were sitting there in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. I guess at least some of them were. He gives the words of life, and he comes to the end of chapter 7, and he says, "If any of you hear my words, you're like a man that built his house." And we know this story, the wise man and the foolish man, right? They built his house. The storms of life came, but the house stood. If you build upon the rock, and he's talking about Jesus himself. But if you don't hear my words, or if you hear my words and don't do them, you're like the man who endeavors to build a house and upon the sand, and it falls. And Peter tells these Jewish leaders, this is exactly what you're doing. your house will fall, right? You will not find fulfillment. Things will fall apart. You know, we can reject the cornerstone. We can choose to build on the myriads of things, lots of different things in life and pursuits, but it doesn't change the reality of who Jesus Christ is and as the only way to salvation, right? That does not change that fact. He is the only one that we can be sure of. Romans 9, verse 33 says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be saved." Remember, we have this thought of being a stumbling stone. I think, turn to 1 Peter. I'll just turn to 1 Peter 2. I'd like to just read that as well. 1 Peter 2. He's talking about a stumbling stone, them coming to this, and they stumbled over Jesus. They didn't want to recognize with him, but you know, the fact was that every time they would go one place to another, they try to catch these men and put them in jail, they still came to the stumbling stone, right? There was still something that these men are doing this because they've been given life through Jesus. This stone, right, that was there was a problem in their life. And Peter here, he goes here later, and he's preaching here. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 3. And I like this, and I'd love to read more of this, but 3 to 9, he says, verse 3, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." You know, many of us have tasted that, right? We understand that. And back then they did too. "To whom coming, as unto a lively stone, disallowed and indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." This stone that God sent to the people, to us, to humanity, is a lively stone, a precious stone. But, it goes on here, verse 5, "ye also, as lively stones," we get life from this stone, we get direction from this stone, "are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scriptures, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious.'" I trust that that's many of us this morning. "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were disappointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." A wonderful verse as we think about that. Thinking of this rock of offense, the character of our cornerstone, again, does not change. Jesus does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the circumstances of life that we face, he does not change. But notice the effects of this cornerstone on those who choose to disregard him. He says he will fall upon them. And, that's not the verse that I wanted there, but it talks about it being a stumbling stone. And we fall upon that stone, we find life, right? We can let we can let it fall upon us as well and grind us to powder. I think that's another verse he read, some that I had written here somewhere. Those who disregard the truth, that person becomes unstable. He's constantly looking for another cornerstone. I think it's Matthew 21 that talks about that, where Jesus said, he talks about it in that, and he starts talking about it, and he gives two parables. And then he continues on later in 23, 27. He says, the rock, we can choose to fall upon that rock, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Allow him to change us. Allow him to chip at us and to change us and conform us and put us in line here where he wants us in his building. Or we can allow it someday. Instead, we can choose to reject it. And someday it falls upon us and we become ground to powder. And we become judged according to what has happened there. And we think about the mercy that bestowed upon all those who allow him to be broken, to allow themselves to be broken by the cornerstone. Choose to fall at his feet. Choose to surrender, to yield ourselves to the mercy and the blessing. As we think about that, we see we can be blessed by that. Now let's think about the building of the cornerstone, the building upon this cornerstone. Turn to Ephesians 2. And think about life and being and building upon the cornerstone. Ephesians 2. We have a little bit more about building upon this cornerstone. So Jesus would be the cornerstone of our life, personally. You and I, we have to figure it, we have to understand that, we have to become aligned with that, we have to accept it as the answer to our life, right? We need to choose to do that. Ephesians 2, starting in verses 19 to 22, and just jumping in here, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone," right? "In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." You know, as we build our lives upon this cornerstone, as we lay that foundation in our lives, we become a habitation for God, right? God comes and he dwells among us. We have to do that personally. But I think this is also talking as doing it collectively, as God's people. As we build together, we become a habitation of God. And we become a building that can be an example that is a blessing to this world that we live in. I think brother, someone shared this morning about it being that we are, the kingdom of heaven comes to this earth and it shines out from his people, his church, right? We are the answer. We aren't the answer through Jesus, right? But we become the example, the light, the guide of a building that is built correctly, a building that is the way God wants it to be, a building that is plumb, a building that is square. Are you that? Am I that? Well, in and of ourselves, we are not. That is correct. But as we allow Jesus to do that, we become that person. We become a habitation of God through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to work in our life. And he's still working on me, and I'm sure he's still working on you as well. He has to chip us. He has to mold us sometimes. He has to keep working at us. And putting us where sometimes we get out of line and we have to pull ourselves, we allow him to pull ourselves in line, back in line with the string line of his word as we keep reading his word and we're looking into that. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Maybe I did read that already. Yeah, he also has lively stones, build up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. We become lively stones. I don't know, I've never seen stones that are lively. But in the building of God, building of Jesus Christ, those stones that were once dead and hard of sin, they become alive. And they can be used. And God can mold the toughest, hardest quartz rock, right? He can change that and he can make it the way he wants it. And he can use it to his honor and to his glory. But you and I need to allow it to do it, right? We need to allow his word to work to cut us and break us and make us who we want. And we can conclude that if we are founded upon this cornerstone, we were part of a, I think we can understand this, that if we were founded upon the cornerstone, if we are align ourselves with the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, we will be part of a bigger structure, I think. As we allow God to use us, we will become part of his body, his church. And that, I don't think we can get past that point. We are no longer strangers and foreigners, no longer wandering about by ourselves, but rather fellow citizens of this church with the saints. Each lively stone who has an individual relationship with the cornerstone. We are saints. We are bodies. Our bodies are the temple of the Spirit of God, and he lives in us. And we cannot be effectively part of the structure without having that independent individual connection with Jesus Christ. Yes, we depend upon the other stones beside us, but you and I need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, you're a part of the household of God. You're built in whom the whole building fitly framed together, the components growing together into a holy temple. Just Ephesians 4, I'd like to turn there yet. Ephesians 4, we have this talking about the church of God. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he talks about the church as he starts, what he gave to the church, what he makes the church. In verse 11, he says, 11 to verse 16, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. For helping us to become what he wants us to be. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, the bigger structure. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed through and fro on the stone pile and carried about with every wind and doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive many, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We could talk a lot about the church as you go into this, and I had a little drawing here. If you think about the Bible, I'll just use this as a cornerstone, and we make this the cornerstone of our life. And this becomes a cornerstone of our life. We'll make this square. You know, our life, we build our life upon this foundation, and we continue to grow out from there. Our personal life, we align that with that, right? We align that. We pull that string, we read God's word, and it continues to guide us. And as we get older and older in life, and our life, or maybe our structure actually becomes bigger, and our life becomes bigger or longer, whatever it is, sometimes God calls people to short lives, right? We don't know where that's going to be. But as we align our life with that, we can live our life. And as if Christ is our cornerstone, that guides, that string is strong, right? We string that string and we hold it there. It affects our life. We find salvation in that life, in that. And we, our love and our thoughts and our time and our purity and our affections, what we wear, our conduct, whether we give or whether we keep, that's all affected by the cornerstone, right? What God, what he has to tell us, our forgiveness, what we buy, what we look at, our phone time, our prayer life, our joy, our attitude in life, all those things, our talents, our speech, when we experience loss and when we experience pain, it's all based upon how we react to that and how that string is strong and how our life aligns with that cornerstone. That's what happens in our life. And maybe you could take it the other way here. So we're all part of a family as well. And so to build a building, you got to have a couple walls, right? You keep building, you have four walls usually. And so you build the one way, that's our personal life. And I don't know where you would put these all together here, but we build the other way here. And maybe we could say that's our family life. Our family life needs to be built upon that, the solid rock as well, right? It needs to be that cornerstone. And that affects family, right? Respect, obedience, love, submission, husband and wife relationships. As we string that string, there's some lines that we need. It's going to affect how we live, right? That's going to make where we want it, where he wants us to be. Love and forgiveness as parents, as children. It affects both sides, right? As we string that string. I guess the question is where do we find ourselves in relation to the string? Is it aligned perfectly? Or have we pulled the string off to the side and that's where we want to be? We're not actually aligning with we're aligning with self instead, not the cornerstone. And maybe as you come on here a little further and you bring the stone that continues as you get square off of that, you can continue on. Maybe the other side will be your church life and how we relate and involvement and honesty and openness and unity and love and forgiveness and how much we invest in the kingdom and all that goes into that is all how it was based upon the cornerstone, Jesus, and what he wants for my life. Maybe the other side can be considered, you know, how we relate to society and those around us and our involvement in business and witnessing and respect and political involvements and relationships and all that goes into all that, whatever that may be. Prayer. How we relate to that is all based upon what Jesus has in his word, right? As we align that string, as we pull that string tight, all the way around the corners, as we think about that. You know, sometimes we find people, we start comparing, just say this is the church life here, and we start comparing ourselves and our personal life, and we forget about the string a little bit here, and we start building here, and we start aligning with the other stones that are around us. What happens? Well, if it's a good church, and good, I firmly believe in solid friendships and people that are living for God. But you know, we need to still base upon God's word as well. But if we choose to just base upon those that are around us, our peers, eventually you might get later in life and you start looking back like, no, God's word was actually in here. And I've based myself off of what everyone else was doing. I think we need to be careful with that. You have a bulge in the wall, right? That eventually will fall. That building will fall. And I think we need to be careful with that. If you think about was a string run? Were we reflecting on the cornerstone? Is our life bound by that? Where do we find ourselves? God intends for us to find safety and security in the Church of Jesus Christ. And he desires for us to look to those beside us, but also to the Word of God as well. As we align that life, we pull the string and we align it with our lives. He wants us to be able to do that, but we need to line up with the cornerstone. Only as we are in line with the cornerstone do we find the perfect accuracy for Christian living. We must personally align with the chief cornerstone, the plumb line of truth. You know, today there are many, many things that are just becoming more and more accepted. I think it's over here the same as it is in America. More and more things are just becoming accepted. Like, well, yeah, God doesn't quite mean that. And we pull the line out a little further. We pull it a little here. We pull it a little there. Let's make sure it's lined upon God's word, upon the cornerstone. Christ alone, cornerstone, our plumb line. What is your life being built upon according to today? Christ is sure he doesn't change. We won't be building the wall and all of a sudden the cornerstone will be at some unexpected place at the end of life. And won't be able to realize, oh, Jesus, I didn't quite know where you were, wanted me to be. No, it's very clear. If we read God's word, it never changes. God's word doesn't change. God doesn't say, you know, he wants you to do this and now I want you to do that. No, he doesn't do that. And we can stand if we follow our lives, we base our lives, our family life, our church life, our personal lives, how we relate to the world around us. If we base that all upon the plumb line of God's word and have Jesus as the cornerstone, Christ alone, cornerstone, we can have the answer. Now I'll read the last verse here of that song. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Now I trust this morning, as you find yourself, wherever you find yourself, that you have Jesus as Christ, as him alone, as the cornerstone of your life. Let's be faithful to him. Let's allow him to work in our life, wherever that is, and to be what you want us to be in our lives. I think as we think about God and what he has done for us and the blessing that he has given to us, is to cause us to fall in thanksgiving before him and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done.